Thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for, as we always do, for our brothers and sisters who share with us and lead us in praise. And so tonight, Lord, we come as we have been coming, and we bring our burdens to you tonight, even when hope is lost, as Shauna sang, we'll praise you. We'll praise you in the fire. We'll praise you in the battles and the struggles and the difficulties, because we know that you cause all things to work together for your purposes and for good for us who love you. We pray, Lord, tonight that you would be with all the things that are going on and across the church campus tonight for Brother Tim and the students. They have many. We pray for the students who have invited their friends, and as they hear the gospel tonight presented, that some of them will say yes to Jesus and trust in the Lord as their Savior. We pray, Lord, for all of the teachers and all of our, we thank you for the blessing we have of all of our leaders and teachers and Bible studies and the opportunity we have to teach the young ones, and for us to have the opportunity to open the Word of God in freedom and to read the Word of God in our own language. What a privilege it is. We pray that you would help us to give thanks to your name and offer the sacrifice of praise to you for grace and mercy every day and salvation and guidance. Tonight, Lord, we need your help as we think about this fasting habit. It's a hard one for us. We don't always understand it. But we know, Lord Jesus, you practiced fasting. We pray that we might see the value and importance of it in our own spiritual lives tonight as we exercise ourselves to godliness all the days of our life. And grant us your understanding by the help of the Holy Spirit tonight. And so, Lord, we thank you for this day and for the privilege we have of the ability to come and to read and to hear and just be together and have fellowship together. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Good to see everyone. Make sure you pick up an outline. If you didn't get it, you'll need it. If you're a guest, I'm Pastor Mike. We're glad to have you. What we're doing, and those of you online, we love you. We miss you. I want to never forget to say that because we do have a number of people who join us that way who can't be with us. And so we're missing you. We thank the Lord for you. This morning at noon, we had the room full again. Good group. We had about 50 here. And I'm glad they're able to come, because many of them would not be able to come now that we've turned into, well, what time? It gets dark like at, what, 2 o'clock in the afternoon now? I don't know. It seems like it. And for those who've just moved to Tennessee, get ready, because this is, well, it's dark a lot here. And so you just have to get used to it. My new friends from Connecticut, just get ready. All right, where do we start? Well, first of all, review. We've got a picture here on the wall. I remind you of it all the time. The line going up reminds us of what we've all been dealing with even today. You may have gotten words today. You may have had trouble. You may have had trials today. You may be in the midst of troubles and trials that have gone on for a long time. That's because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble.
Amen.
You know, if someone has taught you that, then that's not the truth. The Lord Jesus had troubles. He lived in suffering. And so we are going to have trials and troubles in our life. And so as a result of being a Christian, we have the help at the top. So here's trouble over here. That's the line going up. At the top, you have the blessing that we all experience as Christians. We have the Holy Spirit who's now living within us. And as a result of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life, He helps us with our troubles. He comforts us. He reminds us of the love of God. He pours out the love of God. He teaches us God's Word, which is why we read and study God's Word. He helps us in our prayer life. He helps us and leads us. We'll see that again tonight again. But at the bottom, so that's coming down. But in order to have the mind of Christ, in order to be like Jesus, if I'm going to live like Jesus, if I'm going to be a person of godliness and Christ-likeness, there are some things I have to do. We love the grace of God, but the grace of God doesn't mean that you don't put any effort into growing as a Christian.
Amen.
And that's what we're spending our time on. We're spending our time talking about these disciplines But I like the word habit. So here we are on my giant flannel graph that I have for you. Here's my giant flannel graph. And I realize that young people don't know what a flannel graph is. Google it and look it up. You'll know what it is. I forget about that sometimes. So we've talked about Bible habits. How do you handle your Bible? How do you learn your Bible? Well, part of going to church is to learn how to study the Bible, how to do all the things around using your Bible. That's why we have people here. It's why we do what we do. So church helps us, that is worship, and going to church has a lot to do with helping us learn these habits. We learn many of these things as we're taught, just like we're doing here tonight. And so there are Bible habits, there are prayer habits, there are worship habits, evangelism habits. That is, we have the habit of telling people about Jesus every day. As you're going about your day, wherever you go, if you have the opportunity and you see someone who needs to hear some good news, tell them about Jesus. It doesn't have to be a long time. Serving habits. We find ways to serve one another and to serve people who are not even believers. Giving habits, the way we give our time and our finances and our lives to the Lord. And then tonight we talk about this habit of fasting. And fasting is, and some of the habits we're going to be coming to are not as well known, but they're very essential. Let me say this again to you as your pastor, and I've been reminded again this week, just thinking about some of our people and just some of their, the one thing that we don't want to happen in our Christian life is what Paul called shipwrecking our faith. Nothing worse than a shipwreck. And the man standing in front of you is aware that it can happen to me, but it can happen to every one of you I'm looking at today. Shipwrecking your faith. You crash. You start out good walking with God, and then in time something happens. Circumstances come. You don't have the right habits, and you crash. This happens all the time, and so it is my desire that we will all learn how to walk with God and avoid shipwrecks. And believe it or not, fasting, though it is not a regular spiritual habit for the majority of American Christians and most Baptists, we're not as familiar with it, but it is an essential habit. And I've mentioned this to you before. Some of these habits are secret habits. They're private habits. Some of them are public. Some of them are both private and public. So tonight we explore this whole issue of fasting, and for some of you this may be the first time you've ever really looked at the details of what it looks like to fast and what does the Bible have to say about it. So first let's start with the Lord Jesus and what He says to us in Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter number 6. On your outline, I've given you part of this at the top of your page. In Matthew chapter 6, so you have Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are really important because those three chapters are essential for teaching us as Christians how to live. So every believer wants to pay attention. Sometimes these words are called the Sermon on the Mount. These are essential teachings that every Christian needs to know. So He talks about three, not all of them, but three habits. Spiritual habits. So let's read together and look at a few of these things. Matthew 6. Number one, He gives verse 1, He gives a warning. Beware of practicing. See, there's the word. Practicing leads to habits. What you practice is what becomes a habit in your life. Practices always lead to habits. Today, some of us have bad habits because of the practices we put in place in our life. Our schedule, our lifestyle, the way we do it. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who's in heaven. First of these practices, verse 2. Notice, so whenever you give. Not if, but whenever. Whenever you give. When you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet so that everyone can see you like the hypocrites do to be honored by men. But when you give, verse 3, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing. Give secretly. The point is, your giving is between you and God. And as you give your time and as you give of your financial resources to the work of God and the church and all the rest, you do those things between yourself and God. You don't do it for praise. Number two, act is what we talked about earlier, in praying. And I wish I could repeat all these for you. I would just say, if you want to look at these in detail, all the outlines are out on the website under this series, and you just look up Living Like Jesus, and all of the outlines, you can look at them on your phone, you can download them, whatever you'd like to do, but you'll have the detail. Whenever you pray, you're not to be like hypocrites. They love to stand and pray to be seen and heard. Verse 6, but when you pray, go to your inner room, your secret room, pray to your Father who's in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And we also learn here the Lord teaches us to pray the disciples' prayer. And I believe we pray the prayer. I pray this prayer. I pray this prayer every day. Sometimes I pray it more than one time a day. And so it's an important prayer for us to all learn. And so then we come to verse 16. Whenever you fast. Not if you fast. Now again, I want to appeal to you about the importance of this habit, but I want to remind you, the Lord is not saying this is optional. This is a command. When you fast. So if you're a Christian, you need to take this serious. One of our people told me today, Pastor Mike, I can do all the other habits, I just can't do this one. I said, but you know, the Lord didn't give us an option. When you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they'll be noticed by men when they're fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Then we see in Luke chapter number 5. So if you take your Bible, go over to Luke chapter 5 for just a moment. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third gospel. We have this story about the Lord Jesus, and the scribes and Pharisees were complaining and comparing how Jesus' disciples lived to the disciples of John the Baptist and to their disciples as Pharisees. And so they were asking all these questions, and they were critical about their fasting habits, lack of fasting. Though they didn't know all that they did, but in this particular occasion, they hadn't seen them fasting. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 33. Luke chapter 5, verse 33. Luke 5, 33. The disciples of John, so these Pharisees came and they said to Jesus, the disciples of John the Baptist often fast and offer prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees also do the same, but yours eat and drink. And Jesus said, you cannot make the attendants of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? But please notice verse 35, but the days will come, and now we live in them, but the days will come. The Lord Jesus is in heaven. He has not come again yet. We are in a very real sense separated from our Lord. There is a groaning and there's a desire for every godly Christian who desire. We desire the Lord Jesus to come, but the days will come, and when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in those days. Notice, then they will fast in those days. So everybody tonight is going to have to do your own evaluation on fasting. So I've given you on the outline some statements about fasting, and then we'll do a little Bible history on it and give you some background. Number one, fasting, the actual word simply means to abstain from food primarily. It can be drink. To abstain from food as it's used in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Fasting is about food, abstaining from food for a specific time. Fasting is an act of disciplined abstaining. You're practicing abstaining. You're disciplined abstaining to obediently choose to abstain from food in order to focus on prayer and time with God. I do believe that fasting can also include, and many times it does with some of these habits, abstaining from this. I'm holding it in my hand, which is the worst thing that was ever invented. Here it is, right here. This is right here. Controlling the world, controlling your mind, controlling mine. Some of us can't even turn it off at night. Some of us sleep with it. Whatever in the world would we do? I'm about to start off on a... I'm not going to get on a tangent. Pat told me not to. I'm not going to do it, Terry. Don't throw meat at the dog. Don't do it. But we can and do need to abstain from devices, technologies, and other things that hinder us from times of focused attention with God. Fasting. Now, most of you in this room have done it just like me. You've done fasts. I'm not talking about medical fasts. Your doctor says, okay, you're going to come in for your test, so you fast for whatever time. That's great. We all make it. Nobody's died from it. I'm not talking about fasting because, well, I need to lose some weight, and I do, but that's not the kind of fasting I'm talking about. I'm talking about, as I say here in this last point, a serious commitment to an act of abstaining from food and other things for a period of time. It's a spiritual act of submission to God and disciplining your flesh. And that's hard for American Christians to do. So what do we learn about fasting? Let's go back in the Old Testament and see. What does the law of God say about it? We'll go way back in your Bible to the book of Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Go to the third book in your Bible. These notes are not on your note sheet. I'm sorry, I added these. I just thought about it and this needs to be included. The first statement or reference, though it's not a direct reference using the word fasting, is found in Luke 23, chapter 23, verses 26, 27, 28. The only time we find, Moses fasted, David fasted, Daniel fasted, Hannah fasted. We have all kinds of examples of Ezra fasted, Nehemiah fasted, but this is about fasting as God's people. Notice Leviticus 23:26. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, notice the law of God is exact. On exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. Now please notice this is the Lord's words to Moses, law of God. It shall be a holy convocation for you. I read from the New American Standard, convocation. And you shall humble your souls, which really means you are to deny your souls. If we read this in the Hebrew language, you shall deny yourself and present an offering by fire to the Lord. Notice what you do at the time of the atonement. On the great day of atonement, when the sins of Israel are covered by the sacrifices of the lambs and the goats and the sheep and all the rest, it is a time of holy convocation and a time of self-denial. And this, through the history of the nation of Israel, was a time where all of Israel would fast for this day. You shall not do any work on the same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before God. So it is, first of all, we see in the law of God, once a year there would be this time of fasting on the Day of Atonement. All of the Jews, all of Israel did it. That was an important thing. But as time progressed, the Jewish people developed some other times of fasting. So now you got to find this. You got to find Zechariah. Now don't panic. Zechariah is, you got to find toward the back part of your Old Testament. Here's the way I'd say. If you don't know where Zechariah is, you don't have to be ashamed. Just get your table contents and look it up in the front and go find it. It's no big deal. Zechariah. I'm on page 810 of my Old Testament to find Zechariah. That probably won't help you one bit, will it? Zechariah chapter 8. I'll give you time to get there. Because in Zechariah, we see something else about some additional times of fasts that were included and added that the Lord gave to the children of Israel as they were returning from captivity. Folks, please forgive me. I'm having to assume you know some of your Bible to go with me, and I'm sorry I can't explain it all. As they were coming back from being in captivity, and they were coming back as the children of Israel were coming back home to Jerusalem and to Israel, and this is what the Lord says to them, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 18. Then the word of the Lord of the hosts came to me and said, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the 10th months will become joy, gladness, cheerful feasts for the house of Judah, so love, truth, and peace. So here we see that there were the establishing of these additional fast times in the 4th month of the year, 5th month, 7th, and the 10th months. But notice the purpose of these fasts were to be for joyfulness and worship and praise. So I want us to begin by thinking a little bit about the Lord Jesus and fasting. Let's think about this for a moment, and I have it on your outline. Let's go back now to the New Testament and go to Luke chapter number 4. We'll have more to say about the Old Testament and the practices of the Jewish people around fasting, because I want to remind you the Lord Jesus was a Jewish man. He was fully God and fully man, but he was a Jew. So as a Jewish man, the Lord Jesus was also a rabbi. So he fulfilled the laws of God. He lived them perfectly. And he was a Jewish man under the law, born under the law, in order that he might live perfectly and fulfill the law so that we might be saved. But now we're in Luke chapter 4. Let's read this with me, beginning in verse number 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, after his baptism, he returns from the Jordan. And I love this language, and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And of course, the first of these temptations, the devil said, if you're the Son of God, well, tell this stone to become bread. And so the Lord said in response, the Lord Jesus said to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone. And so he resists the devil's temptation, though he was hungry. And after this amazing time of being without food for this whole period of time, he had been led around by the Holy Spirit. I want you to see this, because when you come to a spiritual fast, my brothers and sisters, we talked about on this chart here, the Holy Spirit joins us in these habits. The Holy Spirit helps you. I promise you this. I promise you this. That if you live with these Christ-like habits, you will gain power in your life. You'll gain power to overcome sin. You'll gain power to live in victory. You'll gain power and joy that you do not have otherwise. When you practice these things, the Holy Spirit joins you and will keep you from shipwreck. So the Lord is being led. Notice he led him around by the wilderness. It's not like, well, the Lord just went out somewhere in the wilderness and sat down. Well, he went over here, he went over there. The Holy Spirit was leading him around in the wilderness. So when we come to a fast, the Holy Spirit joins us in fasting. And then if you notice at the end of this, after the temptations, verse 14 of Luke 4, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. I'm testifying to you now. I know this to be true. Fasting with the aid of the Holy Spirit and doing it like Jesus will give you power in your life. You will experience the power of God. People want the power of God, but they don't understand how these things happen. Well, we have to participate. And so as you're doing this, you learn that the Lord Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returns in the power of the Spirit. And where had he been? He'd been 40 days without any food. And yet now he comes back in the power of the Spirit. This seems to be quite a contrast for us, because we would think, well, you need a lot of rest and you need to make sure you're fully nourished in order to have a lot of power. That's not necessarily true for spiritual power. That's not necessarily true. So the Lord Jesus fasted for 40 days. He also practiced regular times of prayer and fasting. Notice what the Lord said. He taught us that it's a secret habit. So he's not going to announce to everybody, hey guys, I'm going to go fast. He practiced this as a part of his own life. How many times do we not know? How many times have we read? He went away and prayed all night. How many times do we know he was in a secluded place for a long season of time? How about the time when the Lord Jesus is talking to the woman at the well? I'm talking about these things assuming you know them. Remember, he was talking to the woman at the well, and the disciples went to get food, and they came back, and they were all worried because they wondered, he didn't want to eat. And he said, I have food and drink of which you do not know. You see, when you begin to understand fasting, you don't miss your food. You have a relation, you're in a relationship with God in a very focused way. Jesus was private and he didn't show his fasting to others, but he also fasted, I believe, because he was fully man to understand the will of God and purposes for his life. So now we come to Christians. Let's talk about us and our fasting. This, again, I love you in the Lord. This is not condemnation. I'm challenging you. So I had, so Ricky's in here tonight. So I've been doing the golfers. So here's Ricky. I had Tom in here this morning. He was back. I ran off one of our golfers. He got mad and quit coming for a few weeks. But, so I got a golfer in here. And here's one sitting next to him. Hooks. They're both golfers. So here's, we got a few more closet golfers. But here's the point I want to make about golfing. There are some things that you do that are unseen that make all the difference on your golf game. One of the first things you learn, and this is really important, is how to hold a golf club. How to grip it. You put your hand in a certain place and you grip it. And Herring told me this morning, said Arnold Palmer, who is a great golfer, his dad told him one day, here's how you put your hands, don't ever take them off. I like that. My point is, who would have thought that holding your hands on a club is that important? But if you've ever tried to play golf and you don't know how to hold it, guess where your balls go? Whoosh, all over the place. Secret things, unseen things make all the difference in public things. And so we see here that in the lives of all of God's people, men and women, there was something secret that they would do at various times with God, and that is they would fast. So we read here, and I've given it to you, there are a number of reasons why we fast. The Lord said, when you fast. So let me list them for you there. There are 8 of them here. When you fast, sometimes we fast to focus on just prayer with God. We need to be with God. We need to talk with God for a specific period of time, and we're not going to have food. Let me ask it this way. And I know it's true for you. Think about times when you've been with people who you really love, you haven't seen them for a while, maybe it's somebody you just get, it's a family reunion or it's some special event, and you're back with people that you've known so well, and you're together, and you're having a great time, and you know what happens? Time just passes and nobody even thinks about eating. The fellowship is so good, nobody brought it up. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me over and over. I love that. Because that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes the most important thing we can do is abstain from everything else we're doing for a little while and just go be with the Lord. Sometimes we fast to seek God's will and direction. I can't imagine. I thank God, and I say it publicly, and most of them are in heaven. Maybe one left alive, but I'm grateful for the teachers in my life who taught us about fasting when I was a student in my church to teach us when you have big decisions to make, you fast and pray about it. You go set aside time, and that's what you do in order to determine decisions. Fasting helps you to focus your mind, my friends. Fasting helps you to get your mind off of everything else. And fasting also reminds you of how fleshly we really are. Because your old belly starts bothering you and you start having all these things. And you start, yes, that's right, the old flesh. Sometimes we fast because we have grief and lament. We can't even eat. When David's son died, he couldn't eat. He lamented and he fasted. If you're in deep grief, I've been talking about this on Sunday mornings. We'll get back to it. Hope and despair. Look, friends, it's real to be in despair. Perhaps in your despair, you must go to God and fast and talk with the Lord for a season about it. When we repent of our sins and return to God, over and over in Scripture, we have the repentance tied to fasting. See, again, how serious are we about what the Bible says we're supposed to do? We study it. It's theory. I'm talking to you about practice. I'm not talking about theory. I'm asking you, when was the last time you fasted and spent time with God? We fast to gain strength and to overcome the power of sin. When there are great temptations that we can't seem to battle down, it's time to go call a fast. It's time to go get with God and put that before the Lord and gain strength to overcome it. We fast to humble ourselves before God. We fast when we're praying for the work of God and missions. We're praying for, there have been stated times throughout the history of America, which has been almost lost. We have a day of prayer for America, but it's not even that well attended. So everybody wants to be concerned about America. Who fasts and prays for America? We're going to find the short solution in men and women. How serious are we about these things? You see, when you fast, you're saying, I'm really serious about this. I'm really serious about this, God. I'm setting these things aside and worshiping God. Sometimes the joy of just being with the Lord takes you away from any desire for food and drink. You just celebrate. And I gave you some examples. Nehemiah, when I heard the words of the destruction of Israel and the condition of Jerusalem, I sat down and I wept and I mourned and I was fasting and praying before God. Joel, the prophet, called for Israel to consecrate a fast and proclaim a solemn assembly. We don't do that. We don't do that. We've got other ways to get it done. We'll take care of it. We self-sufficient Christians in America. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work. The missionary effort of the church started in the book of Acts when the church was fasting and praying about what do you want us to do, God? And then we read those wonderful words that when they were appointing pastors in the churches, Paul and Timothy, every church they prayed and they fasted and they commended them to the Lord, Acts 14. So fasting. In the early church fasted. Jewish tradition moved along, and at the time of the Lord Jesus, Jews would fast twice a week, and they would fast on Tuesday and Thursday. When believers came along, Jewish Christians to start with, but this also moved to Gentiles, they fasted on Wednesdays and Fridays. That's the pattern of the early church. The early church fasted. The early church practiced fasting. And so generally a fast was from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that's the picture and the time for fasting. So we also have then on the backside how Jesus instructs us to fast. So what did he say? I'll just look at the outline and give them to you. When you're fasting, you don't need to let other people know you're fasting unless it's a church-wide event. And then we all who are doing it together, we know, but we don't broadcast it or, you know, call the news up and say, by the way, we're all going to fast. You don't appear sad and gloomy. It's not a time of sadness. It's a time of joy. You get to be with the Lord and you're focusing your time with Him. Just think about somebody, the most special person you'd love to go spend time with. You wouldn't even want to eat. You want to be with them. You want to be with them. That's what it's like to meet with the Lord and draw near to Him and fast. You determine the length of your fast. That is, how long am I going to do this? And then you determine what you're fasting about and what you're going to abstain from. You know, my practice is phones are off, emails off, and I'm at a place where I'm not going to be distracted by those things, so that I can give my attention to the Lord. And then you begin the day like every other day you do with your regular time with the Lord. And then you schedule your time of fasting. You can actually be fasting while you're working. If you fast while you work, you've got three times a day. You've got your morning when you start, you've got lunchtime, and you've got your mealtime at night when you finish, unless you're going to extend and do a longer term fast. I'm talking about most of us just doing from 8 to 3 in a real focused way is a real good place to start. So I've given you some description there of how you can fast in your daily schedule, but let me go to the bottom one and talk for just a moment about how to spend a day with God in prayer and fasting. And I recommend it to you. And for some of you, you could do this now. Your schedules would permit it. Before you allow other things to fill your schedule, how about scheduling some time with God? I ask the pastors, and I do it myself, to schedule 2 days with God a year. They're not with their family. They're alone with God 2 days a year so that they might be prepared and know what they're to do. I think more the leaders in this church need to do the same thing. That's how we hear from God. And so how do you spend a day with God? Well, you first of all, you select some readings from the Psalms and Gospels. Most of you in this room, you already have your reading plans. If you don't, we've given you some to recommend. Take your regular plan and begin to record as you meet with the Lord. You start in the morning, you begin your process, you spread your day out. It's a leisurely day with God. You know, I remember sending a young man off to do this for the first time, and he went and did it, and he came back about 2 hours later. He said, "I'm done." I said, "It was a day, but I didn't know what to do." Yes. That's right. Yes. You got to learn how to spend a day with God. You don't get in a hurry. I read all my verses and I prayed all my prayers. Okay, stop. First of all, sometimes you have to spend about 2 or 3 hours being still. Have you ever told your grandkids to be still? Your kids? Stop. Be still and know that I am God. Reflect on Scripture. So you're not eating. So especially at your meal times, you're substituting time with God, Scripture. You also pray about what your desire, what you need to talk to God about. You've set this time to talk to God. You've got some big decisions to make. I'm amazed. I'm just telling you, I'm amazed at how people in the church, all of my ministry, have made big decisions without any consultation with God. It's kind of like, well, I've been reading about this on the internet and I talked to a few people, but did you even ask God? Did you even say to the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" I'm really not trying to fuss at you. I'm passionate about this because it's such a sad thing when we don't do this. So you pray about what you see, the fast day gives you a chance, or even if you're doing your work, all day long you pray without ceasing and you talk to God about this matter. What is this issue? What is this matter? Why have you come before the Lord? Why are you not even eating your McDonald's? Why are you not going to, you know, to Denny's? Why are you, what is it you're doing? Why are you sacrificing? You talk to God about it. You keep putting it before the Lord. You ask Him about it. You ask, you seek, you knock. We're just not patient about this. We want the Lord to immediately tell us what it is. That's not the way God works. We confess our sins all through the day of doing it. Then we decide, number 6 underneath how do you spend the day with God, we decide what we're going to do having spent our time with God. In other words, I've now heard from God. During the day, I'm jotting some notes, or at least I'm putting them in my phone somehow. I'm recording the things that are coming through my mind. See, this is how the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. You've been reading your Bible. You've been praying. You've been reading some devotional things with you in your time, however you want to arrange it. But now things are starting, spiritual thoughts are coming to your mind, and you must record them. And then you break the fast, both times, with a commitment to obey what God said for you to do. I'm so convicted about this that in our church, this in the new year, we're going to have two days, called days of fasting and prayer, and we'll give the church some instruction on how to do it. We'll be doing it at the Advent time here coming up at Christmas, and we'll also be doing it during Holy Week. And I would encourage you to participate. You don't have to. You don't have to do it at all. That's where most Christians are. They don't do it. And I would say to you, it is one of the greatest losses in your spiritual life to never, look, when your God is your belly, your God is not God. When your God is your belly, when it controls you, your God is not your God. So this is important for us to learn about crucifying the flesh, living sanctified, holy lives. And I would recommend to some of you who can do it, and of course I'm not talking to people who by health reasons cannot do it. If you're healthy enough to do it, you should consider a regular pattern, habits of fasting. So here's our hymn as we go tonight. And I love you in the Lord. Thank you for letting me speak to you with some passion about it. I believe in this very much. Here's an old hymn we probably haven't sung much, but it's a wonderful one about fasting. I give myself to Thee, Savior who died for me, I give myself to Thee. Thy love so full, so free, claims all my powers. Be this my purpose high, to serve Thee till I die, whether my path shall lie mid thorns or flowers. But Lord, the flesh is weak, Thy gracious aid I seek. For Thou the word must speak that makes me strong. Then let me hear Thy voice. Thou art my only choice. O bid my heart rejoice. Be Thou my song. Savior, with me abide. Be ever near my side. Support, defend, and guide. I look to Thee. I lay my hand in Thine and fleeting joys resign, if I may call Thee mine eternally. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who calls us away and draws us to times of being alone with You. He walks with me, talks with me along the way. I come to the garden alone. Lord, we think, tell it to Jesus. We think of so many of these great hymns that have been ours that we sing and love. May our practices match up. Lord, I pray that You would call some of my friends out who are hearing my voice tonight, either here or even online, that You would call them away to a time of drawing together, fasting over a burden they carry, and that they would lay it before You and spend some time with You and let You help them unclutter their minds, help them to still their minds and calm their minds. The minds of Your people, Lord, rage. They're stormy. They're troubled. Forgive us when we do not have peace in our minds. And so I pray, Lord, that You would move among us and by the Holy Spirit You would lead us to pay attention to You and as we develop these habits so that we might be like the Lord Jesus. He never had a day where His mind was in a stormy condition. The Lord Jesus was at peace and He carried and lived in the peace of God and He has promised His peace to us. May we learn to live in it by the power of the Holy Spirit and by these habits that we do. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.